Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks with Exos here on Fox Sports Radio 96.9 FM at 1340 AM. As always, with me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
What's going on?
Nothing much. We also graced with the presence of Champ Creed today. What's up, Champ? As we record this, Champ and Champ Creed and Nephew Corey, I was there live for the inaugural AEW event on TNT. Just want to get you guys' opinions before we jump on anything else. AEW is the hottest thing right now in the world of professional wrestling. Wizard, your thoughts of AEW, the event, the atmosphere, DC being, was DC the right city to debut AEW?
I mean, I think any city would have been good for them because it was the first show, period. I don't think necessarily emphasis on, oh, it's DC. The DC doesn't carry that kind of weight in the wrestling world as far as, oh, we got to go to DC. No, it's always Philly, Boston, New York, Chicago, LA. Like, DC is a great city because they turn out, but it's like, it's not where, you know, companies are clamoring to go there. It's not a knock, it's just the way it is. However, it was a very good turnout for them last night. And,
yes.
You know, we talked about how the, you know, ticket sales, you know, from where the, I guess, the scalpers originally sold it out, and then, you know, it ended up ticket prices were dramatically dropping, but that may have helped them. You know, as weird as it is, that may have helped because the show and the energy, I think, when people pay not that much money to go to something, their energy level is a little bit higher because they're like, okay, I'm in here for, you know, I got a good deal. I'm in here. Let's have a good time. So I think that may have helped. And this first show delivered, so it ended up may have helping their situation in the long run.
Well, in the words of Ted DiBiase, poor people don't have anything to do. So if you give them something that they can do to get off their couch, then they're happy just to be there.
Yeah. There you go. Good job.
So you were just happy to be there?
No, I actually went in for free.
And there you go.
Great setup. Great setup. But to the Wizard's point, you know, what I think, before we even get into that, I think now a lot of fans are not just fans of what happens in the ring. They're not just fans of production. I think now we have a sophisticated fan to the level of understanding the actual inner workings of the business. If you take it back 20 years ago, no one really cared about, you know, what the scalpers were selling tickets for. They really didn't care too much for a sellout. We were being told these things by each respective promotion. Now we have the tools to investigate it. People really didn't care too much what a buy rate was. They really didn't care about the advertising, the sponsorship, the licensing, the merch numbers. Now we do. And I will say, I think we have to credit Eric Bischoff with that, because he was the first one that I can think of that brought all of these business elements into the conversation to compare what his promotion was doing versus the competition. Now we're here. And we're in a situation where the leagues, if you want to call them that, or the promotions or the entertainment entities are competing again on a Wednesday night. And I have to say that the fans knew that they needed to show out for themselves, whether it was Philly, DC, Baltimore, Phoenix, Texas, Dallas, whatever, wherever you want to call it. I think the fans would have showed up and showed out like they did last night. Behind the scenes, everything ran as smooth as you could imagine. I mean, I've been to, at this point in time, hundreds of live combat sport events, spanning all of them. And, you know, me keeping a keen eye on how things are working. Like, I can tell you this much. The production team, internally, externally, the stagehands, now that Turner has a vested stake in it, this thing went flawlessly. Everything was executed for the commercial breaks, the transitions, getting certain things that shouldn't have been in the ring out of the ring, with the exception of Jericho picking up the wiener in the middle of the main event.
But, yeah, what's funny, that was so funny because I saw when it happened, when it got thrown in there, and it's so funny, I was taking a video at the moment of that sequence, and in my video I even said, oh, somebody threw a hot dog in there. Like, it's just so funny and random. And for Jericho to ad-lib like that, it's great. It really worked out.
Watching, you guys were there, but watching it, some of the replays were off. I don't know if you have guys gone back and watched it yet.
Not yet.
Some of the replays were off, and I mean it's the first night. I'm not being nitpicky, but that it wasn't coinciding with what the announced team was talking about. I did enjoy the announced team, the three-man announced team. I thought Tony Schiavone, Jim Ross, and Excalibur did a great job working together. I'm just looking for them to get better each and every week. And I think AEW has a very good product, and I think it is marketable. I know last night was the first show. I'm interested to see, not the first show, because I knew the first show was going to be packed and the first show was going to be big. I'm just still, and I think I've been saying this the last couple weeks, I want to see the sustainability. Can we continue to develop and build storylines and characters for that the wrestling fans need to know? Because if you was a casual fan wrestling last night, there were some guys that you didn't know, like who's Sammy? Because 1.4 million people watched it. I can't believe all 1.4 million people were hardcore wrestling fans. There were some casual wrestling fans because it was AEW and it was a debut show, and well, that's what we need to watch this. But how many of those 1.4 million knew Sammy, knew Nyla Rose, knew Rio? I'm just curious. And y'all can tell me from there, in your section, how many people really knew what they were, or people were there just
they
because
knew.
They was
where I was, they knew. They knew who all of them were, and that's the thing, is that this is what they smartly did, because we talked about how they need to make sure that they put these people. I talked about how the initial guys of Cody Bucks, Omega, Cody Bucks, Omega, Jericho, all of, like you have those guys which people know. But it's that second level that you've got to start pushing, meaning your MJFs, your Guevara's, your Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, like these names that have the charismatic ability, but you got to put them out there. And so MJF can do that on his own, which is why they didn't need to put him in there with a known name really like that. They just put him out there. But Guevara, you put him in there with Cody. Some of the other people, like Nyla Rose and Rio, you end up letting them have the best match of the night, for real. So you find ways to make sure these people, either with help of other star power or on their own off ability, to make their name. And they did a good job of that last night.
Champ?
Yeah, I mean, you figure this. At its core, professional wrestling, you really don't need to know who's who if you're coming into it. You just need to know that the story in the ring is being told the right way through the action. You bring in somebody that didn't know who was who. You knew who Sammy G was. You knew who Cody was. And I'm not saying off of a past reference, but you can tell that Cody's the money and this guy wants to be the money. You know, you can see with Rio and Nyla Rose, that's your David and Goliath story. You know, you see Jericho come out. You see he's the charismatic jerk-off who happens to have, you know, the title, and he's trying to play keep away. You know, every persona there, if you didn't know who they were, you figured it out. John Moxley, you thought this was a guy, if you didn't know anything, hold on, this guy's come from out of nowhere, and he's beating this guy from pillar to post. He's a recluse, you know? Everyone and their character, I think they did a good job last night expressing their character through the way they wrestled, through whatever segments that aired, like with SCU, what have you. The only person that I think needs to step it up, and I kind of feel bad for him, is the guy that MJF fought. Bro, he was so nervous. I thought he was going to trip down the ramp and pull a Titus O'Neil. You were closer than I was with, what was the guy named Cutler, right?
Brennan Cutler.
Yeah. Did he look as nervous to you as he did from my section? Because as soon as he came out, I was like, man, this dude is shook right now.
I don't think nervous as far as the stage. I do think maybe now that you pointed out, maybe nervous as far as keeping up or making sure that he did his job correctly, because I think what, and no pun intended with job correctly, but I think what the premise of that match was to introduce the world to MJF and let MJF, like I said, do it on his own and get his star power, excuse me, out there. And I think Brandon knew his role. And in order to make sure that MJF was put over correctly, I think that's maybe what may have made him look nervous.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, he knew his role. His role was to go out there, MJF, introduce him to the world. MJF is a major star in AEW. He's a major player. He is the future. When you talk about the second tier guys earlier, MJF is that guy.
Yeah.
He is the guy.
Yeah.
He is the second tier main player for AEW when Cody, the Bucks, Omega, whoever decides to retire, go stay in the back or whatever the case may be. It'll be the MJF show. And he's that guy. And I think they did a good job. I think the production value was good. I thought the wrestling was good. The story time, the storytelling, the pacing. Even when they took commercials, I had a conversation with someone this morning. Even when they took a commercial break when Finn Balor would get to the NXT, when Finn Balor appeared on NXT. And I thought that was a good placement there because you didn't have to worry about people switching in the middle and staying on it. We're on commercial break. Go ahead and switch. Okay, Finn Balor shows up at NXT. Cool. All right, let me go back and see what's going on at AEW. You know, and
well,
so
both production teams, as you know, are watching each other's show to make calls. I mean, so absolutely.
Yeah, making calls. So, I mean, I think the production, as we're saying, the production guys, the guy in the truck did a good job last night. Keith, you pointed out in the group, like, okay, both women matches are going on at the same time. You know, which ones are people watching? And I think that's something that we look forward to each and every week, because I think they're going to continue to look at each other. And it's great for wrestling. It is definitely great for wrestling. As we shift over, AEW wasn't the only show that was on Wednesday night. You had NXT, which show had a takeover type feel, and they started off with a big bang. Adam Cole taking on Matt Riddle. I mean, good match there. It was a solid show. Y'all both got a chance to watch it, Wiz?
Yes.
Okay. Well, solid show there. Very good match there. Very good match between those two guys. And both of them, again, we talk about the future of a company. Adam Cole is the future of the WWE, and so is Matt Riddle. Whether you like,
I don't
Riddle,
know, man. I
whether
think
you like
more
Riddle,
so Riddle than
like,
Cole, bro.
Whether you like Riddle or not.
Nah, it got nothing to do. It doesn't have anything with me to like him or not. I don't know him to say that I don't like him. But, you know, I just think that they have so many guys at his stature that there's going to be a logjam on the top level for a guy like him. Like, if he was the only one that was built the way that he's built and capable of doing what he's capable of doing, then I'd say, okay. But they have
I'm going to disagree with that.
Okay, let me hear what you got to say.
Only in a small sense that Riddle is unique, that he's the only one.
No. Riddle, I'm talking about Cole, not Riddle. I think Riddle is going to be a bigger. Yeah, I think he's going to be a bigger star than Adam Cole. Like, that's what I think.
Okay, then I'm also going to have a point about that. Okay, so first of all, yes, I absolutely agree. Matt Riddle is so unique he's going to be a star. And, you know, I know a lot of those, you know, of the, you know, the run-ins with Jericho, which I still think is a work. I think Jericho may be helping the dude get over myself. But anyway, Matt Riddle's absolutely going to be a star. Cole has such a foundation already that I could see what you're saying had Cole just come in just now. And then it's like, okay, I could see logjam.
Mm-hmm.
Cole's at the top of the heap. Cole is the top guy in NXT, period. He's the top guy. There's no logjam with Adam Cole. Now, as far as him getting to the main roster, that I may see a problem for him. Go ahead.
My question is now, do we even want to – are we still saying main roster? Because NXT is a brand on its own now. Do we have to say main?
That's why I was about – I hate you. Because I was about to go there. That's where I was going next. That was going to be the part I was going to finish with is that. But because they are keeping people in – not only keeping people in NXT now, they are bringing people over there. That's now where it's kind of like, okay, now we'll see where Cole really is now with them bringing people back and bringing people over to NXT. That's where we'll see how they book him and how they stack him up to the competition.
Yeah, because you think about NXT and you look at AEW and what they're trying to do, NXT, that fast-paced type of organization where you got high flyers, we got guys who can do major spots. I wouldn't be surprised if they brought a guy like Ricochet back down, where you got your indie guys who transitioned from an NXT to the main roster.
Cesaro's going back. I think he's going back to NXT.
I'll put Cesaro and I'll put Nakamura back down there.
Yeah.
And have that combat with AEW and let it go there, because those are the type of guys. Let's be honest, a Cesaro, a Nakamura, a Adam Cole, if they wasn't in the WWE, they would be on that short list to be at AEW.
Yeah.
You know, and so those are the type of guys that you're looking at, and that's the type of product that Triple H wants to put on there at NXT. And so you can see those guys. And those guys are happy because the thing about it, Finn Balor's NXT, I'm sure he's still getting the same pay, not wrestling as much on the main roster. You know what I'm saying? And in a day of the week, and if they do house shows, he can do if he please. So he's making, go ahead and take the NXT date, you know?
If you go back down to NXT, do you get a pay cut, or do you stay at the same rate?
You stay at the same rate.
I think wherever, you stay at the same rate if they send you back down there. But you're still making, the guys who haven't been to the main roster yet, you will still make more on the main roster.
Okay.
But for how long now? Because you got USA deal, you got USA deal, you got commercial money now.
It's probably going to change. It's not going to change overnight. You know, there's logistics to that. So, you know, it probably takes 6 months to a year before people see a pay raise. But that money's got to roll in first.
It does. I totally, totally agree with that.
I got a question for y'all.
Okay.
What do you think the impact's going to be when we have the first, I guess, quote unquote, defection? Now that there's two prominently standing shows on Wednesday night, how do you think the reaction is going to be, any way you want to contribute to the question? About the first defection as far as somebody from NXT all of a sudden popping up in AEW or WWE in AEW and vice versa. Somebody a year from now or something leaving AEW and showing up in NXT.
I think the first person will be Rusev, in my opinion. And I'm not saying that because of the storyline on this past Monday night. I just don't think he's happy with the company. I think they're trying to bury him. Champ, you said women when you take a man's wife and put him with another man and they slobbing each other
down,
that never works, bro. It never works. There's nothing you can get out of that.
You know what's funny? Did y'all see the tweet that Lance Storm posted not too long ago, a couple of days ago?
Yeah, you saw that? Yeah, what Macho Man told him?
Yeah.
He said what Macho Man told him, and I paraphrase. And if I get it wrong, Wiz, I know you're going to correct me. He said a guy told him, Macho Man told him basically, you never let them put your wife in a storyline. He said, I had that happen once, and I don't have a wife now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the history of professional wrestling, that has never worked for anyone.
No, I think you had it right.
Randy Savage gave me advice once about working an angle, an angle with my wife. He said, I did an angle with my wife one time, and I ain't got no wife no more.
Yeah.
That's a Randy Savage angle. That never works, bro.
Kevin Sullivan can say the same thing. Kevin Sullivan and
anybody can say that. I'm telling you, like, soon as I saw that, I was like, it's over. And then on top of that, like, you bring in the interracial love factor. You know what I mean? Like,
it's over, bro.
And Wiz, that's the question I had for you. And I know I put it in our group chat. Besides Mark Henry and Mae Young, has there ever been another African-American male who had his manager was his love interest? White Caucasian woman with love interest?
Didn't know. That's what I can think of.
That's what I thought. I couldn't think of any. I just wanted to double check that. I couldn't think of anybody else.
I couldn't. Is there weren't too many African American love interest angles?
There's never been that I could think of, except for Mark Henry and Mae Young.
Yeah, the male wise, yeah, there haven't been too many males that you see that have been love interests. I mean, you got Viscera and what's the name?
Big Daddy V.
Big Daddy V.
Yeah.
You know,
Daddy V. Oh, yeah, and Trish Stratus, yeah.
In a way, yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, even thinking on people just bringing their wives in, that they end up working with other, another one. Not that necessarily it was this, but DDP and Kimberly. They ended up not being together anymore either.
That didn't work. It never worked, bro. Soon as I saw that, I was like, it's over, bro. One of them is leaving, and if the money's too good for her, she's staying. You know, like, I don't like to put that out there like that, but I'm just going by the analytics of love in professional wrestling. you never want your wife to do that kind of angle.
Nah, so in my opinion, I think Rusev would be the first one to defect. And I think he goes to AEW. I can't see him just staying. He's lost a lot of weight. He's got his American citizenship now. He can work here freely. He's not really dependent on the WWE for anything. I can see him going to AEW. You know, and I know Chief Champ, what you got? Who do you think? Chief Champ.
I think it would be a good thing for him to go. To be honest, like I almost. Like, when I saw this angle, I was like, oh, man. Because to me, the writing's on the wall. There's nothing for him there, you know. Once they started talking about the Canellis angle and all that, that's beneath him, you know. A guy like him could do better in AEW for the simple fact that there's not that logjam at the top level. Like, even they brought in Jake Hager, right? Jack, I'm going to call him Jack Swagger. That's what I'm known as. They brought him in. He's not necessarily going to be at the top, but he's a good in between the top tier and then the next tier below. They need those kind of guys. And you figure they have a weekly show that's 2 hours. So you speak about pacing. They had enough time to showcase their stars, showcase the new people, throw the dark matches at the end of it, and have everyone go home happy. That formula right there works. They don't need a lot of people to defect from WWE or come up from Impact or come from ROH or come from New Japan. They just need key components. And one of the things that Tony Khan said in the presser was that the top guys are under contract, lengthy contracts, right? The lower tier guys they book them on a week-to-week or a quarterly basis. They're not there for the long term. So what I'm looking at is you have your top-tier guys. You have your second-tier guys. You lock in MJF. You want to keep him. You keep a Darby Allin. You keep a Scorpio Sky, to which I think they have plans for him. I think
you know what I 130% agree.
I think they have really big plans for Scorpio. That man looks like a man that's trying to keep a secret. like he looks like he knows something and he sees something down the road. Like even when they mentioned the tag team tournament, he said he's gonna let Kazarian and Daniel. I'm gonna let experience ride it out. Then the Lucha Bros came out. It was a melee. That was something to get him out of the equation because I think they're going to package him for a singles run. And not for nothing, he's the only black guy on the roster, right?
Oh, man. Is he? Gosh.
Yeah, he might be.
Yeah, he's the only black guy on the roster. You know what I mean? So, hello. Like, you know, speaking of where we are now with diversity, that bodes well for him. And that bodes well for AEW. And I'm going to let one of you guys finish up this point, but I saw something last night and today with the ratings that prompts me to ask a question. And I think it's going to be like a subject that we can really get into. So I'll wrap this one up in a bow and let one of you guys take the next one.
Okay.
All right. Wiz, who do you think would affect from either way, AEW or WWE? Who do you think would be that person to jump?
I'm not sure who may or may not affect. I mean, defect, but the effect of it, I think, will be really big when we see the first person from an NXT or something defect to AEW. And I'm talking about past Moxley. The Moxley one was big, but we kind of saw that coming. But that first surprise one, when it happens with AEW, that's going to be kind of their next big notch to say, yeah, like, we're really here. To stamp that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I could see. You know what? As weird as it may sound, I could see a Dolph Ziggler showing up in AEW. Now, somebody like him shows up over there. Instant push. That's a big deal.
Yeah. Game changer.
Dolph. As much as we, you know, we kind of rag on Dolph, just kind of being. There now in WWE, he shows up in an AEW. That's a big deal. Dolph, as far as in the wrestling world, that's a huge. That is up there with Moxley showing up.
Yeah,
you get a Dolph Ziggler showing up over there.
Will we ever see? You know, the name Randy Orton has been thrown out there a lot. Will we ever see a Randy Orton?
No, never. He is a WWE mainstay, period. They'll lock him up in a contract that he'll never be able to get out of.
Because every time they talk about his name, is always thrown out there with AEW. And, you know, we know Orton has been nothing but WWE his whole career. And that's what he is, his daddy was WWE. So, I mean, you look at guys like that who are mainstays. AJ Styles said he's on his last contract, so we don't see him going over there. The Good Brothers, you won't see them. I don't think you see them over at AEW. I do really think in my heart of heart it will be Rusev or the Revival. We'll be the first people to jump. I know what they're doing with the Revival now and all that. That's fine and dandy. They still haven't put ink. They still haven't signed that contract.
The Revival haven't? I thought they did.
They did, but it still runs. From what I'm reading and what I've heard, it still runs out. They haven't extended.
Oh,
it still runs out. It still runs out in the springtime.
Wait, are you sure?
Because the contract they had was last year. It wouldn't run out until this spring. So they didn't re-up. Their contract is still running out, like, right after WrestleMania. Luke Harper's contract is still running out, like, after WrestleMania. He hasn't re-up. The company has agreed to work with them and put them on TV. But these guys haven't re-up on their contracts.
Are you sure?
Yeah, check me. Check me.
No, I'm just asking.
I mean, look, I really don't care too much of what they do. But going back to what you're saying about the defection, I don't think we're going to see that until maybe summer 2020. Because now they're such a, you know, the demand to keep your talent is high. Because, yeah. You know, you start letting talent go. We saw how that ended up in the 90s going into the 2000s, you know. And I think that, go.
No, I'm about to say, some talent just don't want to be there. I mean, I know Luke Harper's on TV right now, but I'm guaranteed he's still not happy.
No, probably not. No, I don't think he's that, but there's not, when you're under contract, there's really not much that you can do, you know, but just ride it out unless they do a situation where your contract is expiring and you have like a final date and they try to extend it. But I don't think their dates work like that. That's what the UFC does. UFC, they'll sign you to a 5-fight contract, right? You get to your 4th fight, and before your 4th fight, they say, hey, we got to renegotiate before your 5th fight. Right. If you say no, I'm gonna fight my 4th fight. After you fight that 4th fight, they make it a very long time before you have your 5th fight until you negotiate with them. And if you don't negotiate with them, then they push it back even further. So people like pretty much forget. You know, they wait you out. They hold you out. And then by the time you get that 5th fight, you know, you get out of your contract. It's like all of your promotional team is gone. So I don't know if. I don't know if they're going to do business like that with WWE, but, you know, we'll see. I'm ready to move on to a more pressing issue with last night being the first night of Wednesday Night Warrior. Are you ready for this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. All right. And I'm gonna need you to give me the numbers on this one, G. What was the rating for Monday Night Raw that time when I think it was The Rock – and when Mick Foley first won the title, like when the ratings shot up, what was that? I'm looking it up now. January 4th, 1999. Monday Night Raw rating. So that's when Shivani said, that'll put butts in seats. Mm-hmm. And then everybody turned, and then the ratings got
up. Man, can I tell y'all, this integration right now with Thursday Night Football and WWE right now that I'm looking at, WWE has won on every facet that you could win on with this partnership with Fox. Roman Reigns is on the set of halftime for Thursday Night Football right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
He is literally on right now. This is, and the fans are cheering him. Michael Strahan's interviewing him right now. They're talking about him being in Georgia. This is so great for WWE. Wrestling in general, it's great for, but WWE is winning right now with this, seriously, because Fox Sports adds, and you know, no pun intended, wink, wink, Fox Sports, but it adds a legitimacy element to the WWE. That Fox Sports is in conjunction with them. They already have a bit of a following on ESPN. You know, this wrestling is in a good place right now, specifically WWE, in the sense of the mainstream sports outlet exposures, to where, you know, these type of outlets weren't touching professional wrestling recently.
Right. But they see the, yeah, they see the value.
I think from a digital standpoint with Bleacher Report and Turner Sports, I think that's the same thing that AEW benefits from as well. I mean, it's not on a national platform, but since the Bleacher Report kind of skewed younger than Fox.
Oh, this is funny. I'm sorry. So they made 3 figures for Tony Gonzalez, Terry Bradshaw, and Michael Strahan. Michael Strahan is themed as John Cena. Terry Bradshaw is themed as The Rock. And Tony Gonzalez, which looks pretty daggone close.
Yeah, it's I'm watching
themed,
it right now.
Tony Gonzalez is themed as Roman Reigns, and it looks spot on.
Hey, I can see it.
This is really great. Fox has given, like, now they're showing the inside of the Staples Center, you know, as they're setting up for Raw. for SmackDown tomorrow. And this is just big. As much as the product WWE is putting out for them, Fox is reciprocating in the advertising that they're making. My goodness.
They gotta get their money back.
It's making wrestling cool. It's making wrestling cool again for that young kid. It's cool because you see it on Fox. You see it on ESPN.
Wait. This is what I'm getting to. So hold that point right there, G, about the cool factor. Wiz, let me know what those ratings were for that event, and it's going to come full circle with this.
Okay, I'm pulling it up as we speak. I got sidetracked.
Okay. Yeah, I know. That was a good segment. Great transitional segment.
Yeah, it was. Okay.
We just did a watch along.
Yeah, I'm currently looking for an article that said it.
Why you do that? Revivals are under contract until April 2020.
Yeah, 2020. Okay, that's what I thought. April 2020. That's what I thought. Okay. TV ratings.
Well, while you're looking that up, I'm going to bring it to a point. So whatever the ratings were for that night, it was very, very, very high, right? I think mm-hmm. could have been around maybe 10 million, 8, 9 million, 10 million people. Let's say 10 million people watched that, right? The ratings came back mm-hmm. from last night. AEW did 1.4 million, NXT did 800,000, what have you. So let's just split that and just say 2 million people watch some form of wrestling on a Wednesday night, right? 2 million people. 20 years ago, 10 million people watched. So you have a huge drop-off in terms of the people that watch this particular form of entertainment, right? My question is, where did those people go? Two, will some or most of them come back?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Sorry, I got your number.
All right, what's the number?
Raw, and they have a nice breakdown of it, actually. So I'll just read this paragraph really quick. This is from a blog from Raw Wrestling Rants. It's a blog. They said the night that many claimed WWF won the war, Mankind was winning the title, and Shivani telling people about it. He said it was tape. They said literally from when Tony Schiavone said that, they said the ratings anywhere from 200,000 to 600,000 people changed the channel, giving Raw the win. Mm. They said the ratings started strong with a 5.7 and went up to a 5.8, and you know, with the change. And they said Nitro started at a 5.5 and dropped all the way to 4.6.
Wow.
You know, and they said so that many had that many people changed the channel. So had that many people not changed the channel, Nitro would have probably had about a 5.5 and Raw would have had a 5.3.
Okay.
So literally,
okay.
So Raw had a 5.8. So that whole thing of, you know, yeah, that would put butts in the seat. Yeah, somewhere around just about a 500,000 people changed the channel. So
that is crazy.
So
to my point, right,
mm-hmm.
People change the channel on the programming, but throughout over 20 years, some people just turn this form of entertainment off.
Yeah.
And my question is, are they going to come back? Do you go after them? Or do you just say, let's try to get a new group of people in here to enjoy this? And then lastly, how do you? Like, how do you sell this particular type of product to a new generation, you know? Like, what we just saw on Fox is one way of doing it, you know what I mean? That's a great way of doing it. But we'll just stick with the first two questions. Like, where did all of these people go, and are they coming back?
Well, they grew up, but not only did they grow up, society has grown up in a sense of society and technology have grown up in the sense of there are so many different outlets to watch TV. Society is in a totally different place than it was 20, 25 years ago. Now that's the thing. We got to start talking 20 to 25 years now with that. So society is just in such a different place now that there are other ways that you've got to market. As with your social media connection, as you all know, social media connection, technological connections as far as ways to look at things through your phone, through, you know, everything. I think the selling point of the company or with wrestling in general will be accessibility. Can I watch NXT or AEW on my phone? Can I at any time? Can I, you know, pause it and come back to it later? Can I, like, that's the thing a lot of people don't understand. Not you all, obviously. A lot of people don't understand with ratings. That's where, you know, wrestler rating isn't as big anymore because there's so many outlets to come back and watch it later. Not to mention, here's why I take stock in the ratings from last night, but not too much. Mm-hmm. Because NXT has always and continued to be built on the platform of being able to look at it on the network at any time.
Mm-hmm.
So people are already in that mindset that I'm going to be able to watch NXT at a later time. AEW is not on anybody's network, so you kind of have to watch it. And network, I mean network is in somebody's app to go ahead and watch it later on, at least domestically in the U.S., unless you have the TNT app, you know, that you can download and then watch the episode later. Unless you're doing that, which is a good way to do it, but unless you're doing that, no, you're pretty much, you have to watch AEW now, and NXT is available on Hulu the next day. It's available on the network the next day. It's there. It's available if you want it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point that you just made about the numbers that, you know, most people are accustomed to watching NXT on the app and are watching it, not necessarily watching
or programmed
it Wednesday night.
They program it in their mind that I don't have to watch it Wednesday night. I don't watch NXT on Wednesday night. I never did. I mean, except in the beginning, like when it first was on the network and would be on there on Wednesday night when there was, but pretty much, I mean, people have lives to where on demand is the best thing in their, one of the best things in their life, because anything they miss, they can go back and catch it later. That's certainly the case for me. I don't even remember the last time I watched the NXT live on the network when they aired the taping, because I know I can go back and watch it an hour later, but in this case now, a day later.
Right.
So,
I have my leisure on Thursday morning at work at the desk or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
With the phone up.
Mean.
And so now for that number, 800,000, I know people are talking about it. That's pretty good for them to say that they,
exactly,
the first week.
Exactly. That's still good.
To say the first week they showed an hour on USA, then they went another hour. The second hour was on the network. And then last week, I think they did the exact same thing for them to watch. For people to watch
it. They strategically made it, Gio, to where last night was the first night that they did it to where they ran it completely 2 hours on USA and, you know, against AEW. So,
yeah. As we mentioned, or as I mentioned pre-show, it is a marathon and not a sprint.
Absolutely.
So to my other question, do you go back and try to get
those fans that left, or do you say we're just going to try to get new fans? Or because I don't know
the fans from 20 years ago.
I mean, let's not even say 20. Let's say 10. Because I Punk was in an interview saying that you know, when he was on top doing his thing, they complained about him. They complained about getting a 3.8, you know, 3.9. To which he said that they'd probably kill for that right now with the numbers that they're doing. Where SmackDown does like a 2.2, Raw does a 3.1, 2.9, 2.8, what have you. The pay-per-view that they did in the Pacific Northwest over the summer didn't sell too well. Stomping grounds, what have you. Numbers were down. Like, I mean, you know, it's an ebb and flow, and I'm not going to like hold it against, you know, the companies, whatever. But there just seems to be. Like, I'm trying to get to this thing, whereas back in, like, the late 1800s, early 1900s, wrestling, like, shoot wrestling was big, you know, where you could sell out Comiskey Park, you know, with a shoot wrestling match, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, the fans got tired of it, and then that gave birth. Go ahead.
I can say they got tired. Other entertainment came. And think about it. When we were watching this in 1997, 97, 98, 99, even in the early 2000s, when there was the war stuff, WWE war was going on, the war, Monday Night Wars were going on, we didn't have social media like this, didn't have Facebook, didn't have Love and Hip Hop. You didn't have the 50 million cable channels you had right now. You know what I'm saying? So we didn't have DVRs.
You had a TiVo, so you had to watch it then. Look, going back to then, they didn't have television. They only had newspapers, and they barely had radio at that time. So I see what you're saying, and I'm bringing this parallel up for a reason. So that same parallel, when it was like Gotch versus Hackenschmidt at, you know, Wrigley Field, selling out, you know, 60, 70,000 seats or whatever the case may be, wherever they are, that died down because the fans got tired of it. They got bored of it. Other entertainment came up. And what ultimately happened was a promoter said, you know what? The reason why the fans are tired of it is because these single matches go on too long. The fans are getting bored. I'm going to start calling these matches as a work. And we'll make them shorter. And then instead of having one, we'll have three. Because now we can time the work to where the matches don't go as long. And then we can start building these guys up media-wise. Thus giving birth to the carnival-style wrestling. Thus giving birth to professional wrestling as we know it today, and then the invention of television, then Vince's dad, Toot Monts, and the Goldmine Three, or whatever they call them, whatever. Anyway, my thing is, have we reached the point where in order for professional wrestling to get and garner a larger audience, something about the functionality of it has to change?
No, I think it does. I think it goes through a cultural instance. Those guys who watched 20 years ago are AEW fans now, and they still watch because we still watch. I think AEW and WWE is two different things. Now, AEW and NXT are closer than AEW in Monday Night Raw and AEW and SmackDown. I say that because last night when you guys were in the Capital One Center, how many kids did you see?
Not a lot.
So your demographic is totally different, and so therefore your audience are different. Now your money will be different because you're not really selling kid merchandise. You're gearing your program towards the adults.
I get you. No, what I'm saying, listen, what I'm saying is this. Follow me on this one. Shoot wrestling was extremely popular, had 10 million people watching it, selling out stadiums. Over time, it went from 10 million down to 1 million, just running the number parallel to what we're talking about now, ratings, whatever, whatever. Somebody came up with the idea to make it work shoots, right? And then they decided to put on more than one. So the functionality of the event changed. And then from there, it grew into a carnival to professional wrestling to what we have today. So what I'm saying is, and then that's when you get your Gorgeous George. You know what I mean? That's when he comes, and then boom, it blows up again. Then you have the golden era, right? What I'm saying is there something fundamentally that has to change about the entertainment platform to get it to that next boom, like to bring in new people? Like, I mean, and when I say something new, I mean like guys can wrestle with helmets on. They can start doing blindfold matches again. or maybe in the middle of a match, you get to pick, you know, they something pops up on one of the screens and the fans get to choose the finisher of the opponent, which actually would be pretty goddamn cool. Like, you know, gamification of the sport. Like, is that the key to get new people? Or do you just ride it out and say, hey, what we're doing is fine, and we just got to pray a new star comes along?
Ride it out and try to create a new star, try to get a new Stone Cold Steve Austin, see a new Rock, and let it be organic.
But those guys come once in a lifetime.
And you got to be organic. We can't create them. Think about the last ones that we had. Daniel Bryan wasn't created. CM Punk dropped the pipe bomb.
Daniel Bryan is not on anywhere, any level of a Rock, a Stone Cold, a Hogan, Andre the Giant, Gorgeous George. No, he's not.
He's not
good.
He's not. Nor is Roman, but we can't equate. We got to equate those guys to somewhere. You got to compare them to somewhere. You got to compare Daniel Bryan to somebody like a Stone Cold or somebody like The Rock, because that's the measurement. Or John Cena, even. John Cena, there's no one has matched John Cena yet. He's been gone, I think, 2 or 3 years, really full-time. You know, there haven't been a guy to match him yet. Roman, but a lot of us, and I want to say this in a right way and not a bad, a lot of people still love Roman because he had leukemia.
Yeah, sentimental.
Yeah,
the struggle.
Yeah, the sentimental value of the struggle. So he wasn't really that major, what you call that, major star. Now, with this Fox and ESPN and with the FS1 and all this other stuff, these guys can become household names, and you may be able to create that. But we have too many diverse things, and everybody's not a WWE fan. You got guys now who are just strictly AEW, or people who are strictly, you know, TNT, Impact Wrestling, which came on Tuesday night. You know, now, when you take the numbers and you add them up, I'm sure that we have 10 million, 15 million people who watch wrestling from Monday to Thursday.
All right, so let me close the time gap, because right now this is a generational comparison. But Wiz, do you have anything to say, like, about where I'm trying to go here?
No, go ahead. I'm good.
Okay, so let's take a look at the difference between the time frame when Vince bought the company from his dad, right, and you had the territory era. Right? Wrestling got bigger because the functionality of the sport changed with the advent of technology, cable, pay-per-view, and then Vince breaking up the territories with pay TV.
Mm-hmm.
That change of the business got it to WrestleMania 3, filling out the I'm about to pull a Hulk Hogan, the Silver Dome, right?
Yes.
filling up the Pontiac Silver Dome. I don't think anyone's going to say that word safely and be secure with it any time in the future. But anyway, selling at 90,000 seats, what have you. There was a change. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, the game change. There's always a game-changing thing. Like, and I don't think that it's just predicated on stars. It's the combination of stars and a game changer in the technology, in the platform, in the way it's distributed, in the way that it's even put out there like that, you know? Like, my thing is it just the game changer and the star? Is it just the star? Do we wait for the next star? And then how do you even build? Like you said, there's so many other means of, like, for example, I only think you can get a 5 million rating on Raw or SmackDown is if Chris Evans from the Avengers said, I'm going to be a wrestler, I'm going to be at Monday Night Raw. Like, I think that's the only way you can get, like, a 5 million, 6 million people to watch Monday Night Raw. Like, it has to be somebody from – because you're not going to be able to make that start. You're not going to be able to make that. Even, look, The Rock is going to be on tomorrow night. They'll probably peak at, what, 3.5, 3.5, 3.8?
Yeah, minus the people that we have.
Well, I don't know. I'm only going to say I don't know if because it's on regular TV tomorrow. This ain't on cable. So you can have anybody just, you know, channel 2, 3, 4, 5, 7, 9. They'll just leave it on 5 just because.
So the sample of what I just said is basically happening tomorrow. Okay, so he shows up Friday, and then what happens after that? Like, now,
the draft.
Do you use him? Wait. Do you use him to put over that next guy, which may damage the way he's perceived in his outside endeavors? Or
upward
do you just
inflection?
Huh? What'd you say?
I was those from Family Guy were like upward inflection.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Or do you let him do what he does? Hey, I'm The Rock. I'm gonna lay the smack down. Watch my segment. All right, I'm a rock bottom elbow. All right, see you guys at the movie Jumanji 2.
I mean, I'll put it this way. Rock said it in Dallas 3 years ago or 4 years ago. It might just be Brady he ends up putting over.
Yeah.
The Fiend.
Yep.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Bro.
Or it could be him helping Kofi defeat Brock.
I don't see how that helps.
Nah, you know what? The only interference I'll accept for Kofi, you know, as far as him keeping the belt over Brock, is Rey Mysterio. And it can't be that diminishes and takes away from Kofi if one of these legends for one night ends up coming back and somehow helping Kofi. It's got to be Rey Mysterio.
You know, but champ, you know what? You said something that made me think about that, Corey. I forgot your point. What you mean about Rey Mysterio? You know what also helped Stone Cold, The Rock, and those guys in which quote unquote we added to era?
The TV guys.
TV guy Jerry Springer.
Look at the era
that we was in. The culture makes a difference about who is the main star. Look at Ric Flair when he came up. What was going on in that culture? Everybody was living, you know, the limousines, the private jets.
Yeah.
What was there? The culture, the New York lifestyle. Look at Dusty Rhodes when he had the son of a plumber to relate. You have to have somebody who can relate to the people and the masses and across racial lines, across everything, and has to match what's going on in the culture in order to create that big mega superstar
want. But you can't do that in cancel culture because everyone will find something wrong with you, and then you get canceled.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you won't have that 5, 6, and 7 million unless they do a free WrestleMania show.
That ain't happening.
We know that's not happening. Yeah, that'd be stupid. We know that's not happening. So you want that? Those numbers of 5, 6 million people watching a certain show, those are long gone. Yeah, those are over. And I don't think they expect those. I think they would like to have those, but they're not gonna get the 5, 6. The 3 million is good. 3.4 is great, but yeah, the 4 million, the 5, 5.3. That y'all guys were just talking about with Mick Foley, not going to happen again.
All right, so listen, the past 3 hours of Raw at 8 p.m. was 2.7 million, 9 p.m. 2.6 million, and the 10 p.m. hour 2.4 million. Those days are gone then, huh?
Yep, they're long gone.
Hmm. Yeah, I want to see what the SmackDown number is tomorrow, because I gather it's going to be pretty high. And then, like you said, to follow up with the draft. But
what make those fives and 5.3s look real good is the fact they were still doing it while the NFL was playing a Monday Night Football.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
You know, and so that formula right now, the level or the measure stick has been lowered. You just got to keep the formula where it's at, and you want to be able to get your advertising dollars and stay at the 2s and the 2.3s and stuff like that and have compelling storylines. Last night, AEW was good, but to me, they didn't really have a compelling storyline.
Because it was the first episode. Like, you got to start the storyline somewhere.
I don't know what kind of point you were trying to make just now.
This is like watching. Imagine the first episode ever of wrestling in like 1951.
there's nothing you can go off of. You're just watching the show, like, okay.
No, I mean, they set up, okay, look, what I'm saying is this. Okay, Jack Hager's back. Okay, Jack Hager's back. I know who Jack Hager is. You know who Jack Hager is. But if I'm looking at a wrestling fan, to me, Tommaso Ciampa coming back was bigger than Jack Hager coming back.
But we got to look at it like this. So say you're a casual fan and this is your first time watching AEW. You're like, okay, who's this big white guy that just jumped in and started beating everybody up? And why is he doing this? Tune in next week. There goes your story. Like everything started last night. So now you just got to see how you know, the continuity of it and how they move on with it. And, you know, I'm just thinking, like, what are some of the things that can do or that can be done? And maybe nothing can be done. Maybe this is just the way it is and it's how it forever will be. Unless you have someone that comes along to give you that jump. And I'm going to say this. I think that Eric Bukes is that guy. They just got to roll him out the right way. At worst case, listen, best case scenario, he becomes the star of NXT on Wednesday night. Worst case scenario, he becomes Van Hammer Jr.
Or he plays football for the Jacksonville Jaguars on Sunday because he looked just like Mitch.
Wait, look, and that's a plus. That's a plus. He looks like America's new quarterback.
Yeah, now, see, here's also the thing, too, that I was going to say about that is that you also got to figure, too, as far as, like, oh, stars or, you know, well, that's interesting. So, not confirmed, but this is pretty much what I'm seeing here. It looks like, yeah, it looks like the CM Punk FS1 thing is a done deal, that he's going to be involved with it.
Yeah, he don't want to get hit no more.
Yeah. He makes – now, if this is true and he ends up being on the WWE FS1 show, I do think he'll get a one-off. He won't return full-time, but he'll get a one-off.
His one-off should be against Hunter. If you want to make a payday, his one-off should be against Hunter. At a WrestleMania. For one of the reasons he left.
Yes and no. And the only reason why I'm saying no is because even from 5 years ago or 6 years ago now to now, Hunter has evolved so much as the face of NXT that it's kind of like I'd rather almost see Hunter at TakeOver than WrestleMania. I'd rather see Hunter versus, you know, I don't know. I mean, anybody down in NXT, you know, Hunter and Johnny Gargano, or oh, actually, that would be the one that Johnny, the face of NXT, and you know, he could not, and he got to tread that line well. But I think Hunter and Gargano would work in the sense of you don't want to have that authority figure storyline down there to where it's like.
No.
You don't. But Hunter Gargano could really work as this is Hunter's child, NXT, that is. And I think I'm the guy. Hunter doesn't think I'm the guy. I see opportunity after opportunity to go to Adam Cole. And you know all these other guys, and I think Hunter, you're the reason for it. He doesn't have to make it as Hunter, the authority figure holding him back on TV, but he can make it so that he feels that Hunter behind the stage, behind the scenes, has never believed in him or something like that. And you don't have to do it to where Johnny's being screwed out of matches on purpose. But just make it a one-off to where Johnny just challenges Hunter and Hunter accepts it. Like, it's like Hunter doesn't even – who else are you going to throw at Hunter on the main roster anymore? at this point, he's fought everybody. Everybody that's a top guy on the main roster, he's fought them. And at WrestleMania at that.
Yeah, you got a point. Like, definitely have a point there.
Like, what do you do at that point? Like, what do you do? Unless the only match I can that I want to see that's left, and we won't get it, is Rock and Hunter.
I don't want to see that.
You said what?
Why? Why would we want to see that?
That's kind of the last one where he's fought every. The seeds were planted at the seeds were planted at 31, and I think they just missed the boat. I think timing just never worked in their favor. I think you would have wanted to see Rock and Hunter then, for sure.
Yeah, especially with Ronda Rousey to mix.
Yeah, now you talk about a match. Had it been Rock and Rousey versus Hunter and Stephanie? You talk about a big deal. That was the match, especially with Ronda coming in. What worked for Ronda coming in was that, this is no knock to Kurt Angle, but Ronda's name resonated more than Kurt Angle's at that point. I think Rock and Ronda, it would have been big because Ronda would have been in there, but it's also Rock. You're like, oof, where do you go?
Yeah, and the promos would have been great.
Yeah. I mean, I can't believe that in my comparison, I said like Chris Evans from the Avengers coming to wrestle in WWE, totally forgetting that Dwayne Johnson is going to be there tomorrow night.
But I know what you meant. If somebody is crossover, people love Marvel. People also love Dwayne Johnson. My thing, as I've always mentioned, to me, Friday Night Football, I still want to look at the numbers.
Yeah. There
are millions of people who will be at Friday football games, especially here on the East Coast.
Yeah. Yeah. You, Glenn, you always bring up those points about weather, the weather, the time of night, and the conditions of the community versus wrestling viewership. You have a point. Even when you were talking about, I remember that summer with Aces and Eights, you were talking about Impact Wrestling and their ratings are going to decrease as the sun stays out longer, and it was true.
Absolutely no. That's a huge effect. Summertime as opposed to winter and all of that. That's why this television in general. That's why season premieres are always in like September. All the major holidays to keep you out of town are over.
Yeah. And because they wanted to sell refrigerators to housewives by Christmas time.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey fellas, we'd have had a good show, but hey, we also have a pay-per-view this week, Hell in a Cell.
I completely forgot about that.
But it has been a lot of wrestling this week. Think about it. Monday night, we have consumed a lot of wrestling. Monday night, you have Monday Night Raw. Tuesday, Impact Wrestling. Wednesday, AEW and NXT. Off Thursday nights, there's nothing to fill the spot right now. Ring of Honor.
Nope. As of either tonight or next week, I can't remember, NXT UK will now be on Thursday.
Well, NXT, there you go. NXT UK. Mm-hmm. Ring of Honor needs to get on a big channel. And just take the Thursday night slot.
I don't want to get into that. We'll be on this phone for another 30 minutes.
For another 30 minutes.
The training they missed. Whatever metaphor you want to use for them missing the boat, that is another one. They missed it. I'm sorry. I tried for so long to try to be diplomatic and be like, yeah, you know, they still got hope. There's no hope now. It's over. It is. I feel so bad to say that.
So Impact and kicked out and resurrected in the Kane Paz Ring of Honor?
Yeah, in a way. In a way, because it's like Impact has the financial backing. nothing else. Ring of Honor, just, I mean, they have the TV network behind them. But if they're not putting on at decent times for these people, help them out.
Yeah.
You know, that it's not Ring of Honor's fault, but it's like, I almost have to commit myself to remember to go on the Fight app and watch the last week's episode of Ring of Honor. There's just so much other wrestling.
Yeah, I just recorded on a DVR and it's on there when I'm looking for something else. Oh, by the way, Ring of Honor's here. I mean, it is one of those things. But that's another episode of another show. Right now, there's only three matches that's set for Hell in a Cell. Your opinions real quick. Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns versus Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. Who wins this?
Well, it depends on what you're doing with everybody else. As weird as that sounds, if you're going somewhere, if there's long-term plan for Harper and Rowan, then they win. If there's not, just let Daniel Bryan and Roman win and end the storyline.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. If there's long-term plans, let Eric Rowan and Luke Harper win. I got a feeling that Roman wins this one. Luke Harper, I mean, Eric Rowan came out on top last time looking good, so.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Roman 2 pay-per-views. Champ, are you invested in this match or you could care less?
I be honest with you, bro. I think I'm tapped out. Been traveling a lot. Y'all going to have to run this segment alone. I tune in next week when I'll return. But to be honest with you,
yeah. I mean, Hell in a Cell is really three matches set. You got Seth Rollins versus Bray Wyatt for the WWE Championship. And then you got Becky Lynch versus Sasha Banks, both are Hell in a Cell matches. My opinion on this one, I think Bray Wyatt actually gets the win over Seth Rollins. I can't see The Fiend losing. And I believe Sasha Banks will become the new women's champion. Wizard?
Well, oh, wait, hold on. I'll jump in since you gave me that one. I think Sasha wins, and I think the Seth and the Bray is going to go to a no contest.
I think Sasha wins and Bray and Seth ends in a double whatever to where there's no winner.
Yeah.
How you do? But that means somebody has to interfere in Hell in a Cell because it's a Hell in a Cell match. Okay. Just check.
Seth's next opponent.
Mm.
Or all of the participants of the Flair versus Hogan Crown Jewel extravaganza match.
I wonder if there's an over-under on Hogan or Flair taking a bump during that.
Yeah.
Oh, you know Flair's taking a shot to the mouth. And Hogan, I don't know.
Leg drop. We'll see a leg drop. We'll see a leg drop.
No, we won't.
His back is
messed
up.
His hips are done. No, ain't seeing no leg drop.
Hey, the prince from Saudi Arabia said, I give you an extra $2 million, you drop a leg.
No, here's the thing. Hogan's pride is too much to where if Hogan knows he ain't going to get up after that leg drop, that $2 million ain't work out.
That's the last leg drop ever.
Last leg drop over. Hey, over under that, we get a red cage again, a red cell.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's what it is now, isn't it? It's the red cell now, right?
I thought it was the first time. Yeah, last year was the first red cell.
Oh, okay.
I just want to know if they probably stick with that. Hey, fellas, enjoyed a good show, great show. Talked a lot of wrestling, had a good time catching up on AEW, WWE. Even do a little Ring of Honor in there as well. Hell in a Cell this Sunday night, pay-per-view, 3 matches named, SmackDown this Friday night. Man, there's a lot of wrestling to keep up with. Closing thoughts before we get out of here. Champ, closing thoughts.
Well, after that last lengthy segment about the growth of the base, what have you, like we said, I think there needs to be a platform-changing thing. I think that wrestling's no longer a dirty word. I remember back in the day, like, you would get laughed at if you were a wrestling fan, or people would scoff at you. But now that people know how big the business is and they see that some of the elements of what they watched when they were growing up are back. And like we said, I think I might have saw like 4 kids at the AEW event. at the one at Double or Nothing, I saw, like I told you, there's one baby being breastfed, and there was like maybe a couple of other kids. This thing, the demographics speak to people that are coming back. So I think AEW is in a situation where they're bringing back fans that used to like the product back years ago, and now their challenge is to get younger fans to come in, or if they want to do that at all, you know? And I think where WWE is, they're fine with where they are, being like family entertainment. They just want to try to expand to more families. I think Fox is going to help them do that. But it's going to be interesting. You know, we're one week in, so week to week, I'm pretty sure we'll be having these spirited conversations.
Yeah, absolutely.
Was it?
Yeah, no. Like I said, we talked about me and Champ Creed just on the side before the event. We talked about just in general how that show had to deliver, and, you know, how that the next four shows pretty much have to deliver all the way up through the pay-per-view in November. They got off to a good start. I'll give them that. They got off to a good start. And so now we'll see where they go from here, but I'm excited for next week.
Definitely. Same sentiment. Got off to a good start. I'm excited about next week. Wednesday nights is our night that I can look forward to once again dealing with wrestling, because I'm just a big wrestling fan. I love enjoying watching wrestling from Monday on. I'm looking forward to SmackDown tomorrow night and see if Kofi Kingston can retain the WWE Championship over Brock Lesnar, and what will The Rock do as he goes to SmackDown. So I'm excited about wrestling. I just have to DVR it because Friday Night Lights do call. With it, take it from you.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.